Welcome to Ruben Comics Podcast. My name is Ruben, and today we'll be talking about Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. They went crazy with the different animation styles. Most of the time, just looking at it frame by frame, spotting different Easter eggs, it made me want to read comics again. Spider-Gwen has a much bigger role this time around. We get an extended scene of what happened between her and Peter. In her universe, Peter was the Lizard. Ned was basically his Flash, and Captain Stacy has been on the hunt for ever since Peter died. It's pretty messed up. One of my favorite worlds has to be Gwen's. It's like a watercolor world with goth and Nora vibes, and the music is pretty funky like a rock concert. Spider-Man 2099 has bulked up from the last time we saw him. He is some of the Spider Society. They're kind of like the TVA with a bunch of Spider people. Spider Buggy, Spider-Man Unlimited, Spider-Horse, Spectacular Spider-Man, Spider-Cat, Spider-Dino, PS4 Spider-Man, Spider-Wolf, Spider-Cop, Spider-Man 1967, Ben Reilly, Metro Boom Spider-Man, so many Spider-Mans. All thanks to Kingpin's Collider. Since then, all these different Spider-Man villains have been popping up in different dimensions, like Italian vultures, anomalies, as you call them. They even had Don Glover play the Prowler. Funny enough, he was also Miles in Ultimate Spider-Man Season 3 Web Warriors. Miguel is a sub-villain to Miles. He's like a hardcore version of Spider-Man with claws and fangs from the future. Kinda like a vampire. He pulled this PowerPoint presentation on the web of life and destiny, or Spider-Verse for short. I couldn't help but notice it looked awfully similar to He Who Remains display in the Loki series. Kinda makes you wonder. Miguel basically blames Miles for everything, which is not fair. Miles did nothing wrong. If anything, it's really the spot. Miguel like, Miles, if we can't invent your monopoly. It was very wild that they had that intervention. Sure, he made some mistakes, but that's no reason to lock the boy up. I've been there. Making him an anomaly puts an interesting spin on his character. Anything, it made me want to root for him even more than before. And he has two great parents to prove it. The Spider is a pretty good villain. He's like Miles' nemesis. He seemed like a villain of the weird at first, until you realize just how powerful he really is. He can open portals to different dimensions. He even traveled to the Venom first at one point, and Lego World. Funny enough, that was animated by a 14-year-old kid. His final form is terrifying. He went from villain of the week to multiversal threat in spades. All because of one bagel. Out of all the villains we've seen, Spider-Punk has to be my favorite. He was ahead of the curve, helping Miles out with that new Venom movie. Funny enough, Holy Brown was a version of the Prowler in Spider-Man the Animated Series. He's the GOAT. Ben Reilly is a close second. I always thought he had one of the coolest Spider-Man suits. He's a clone of Peter Parker. I even saw him in a dream once. My brother was Batman. One of my uncles turned out to be the Riddler, catching me, and out the blue he showed up and saved my life. I didn't see his face, but I believe he was a version of me from another universe, or my universe. Man, we gotta talk about that cliffhanger. Miles is stuck on Earth 42 because the spider that bit him was from another dimension. And he comes face to face another than Travis Scott. Or should I say the Prowler. Yeah, I was lost for words, especially knowing that he was meant to be bit by that spider. If things had turned out differently, our Miles would probably turn into the Prowler. That's how important parenting is. There's a lot of shake-up in the Spider Society. Gwen finally made things up with her dad and started her own spider band, Peter B. Parker, Mayday, Spider-Man Noir, Indian Spider-Man, Penny Parker, Spider-Punk, and Spider-Ham. Sounds like we'll get some kind of spider war with loads of Spider-Man. I think in the next one, we'll turn the characters into live action. Might even meet different versions of Gwen. Miles might help out Lil Prowler Jr. with the Sinister Six Cartel, as they call him. From what I looked up, This is the roster: Electro, Vulture, Sandman, Scorpion, Doc Ock, and Rhino. Never heard this version of the team before. They sound like casino owners. I always wanted to see them in live action. We kind of got that in No Way Home, but they're more like Sinister Five. I don't know if there'll be a big part beyond the Spider-Verse. I mean, we got the spot to worry about. I hope he gets to save his dad. Usually in the other version, Jeff always dies. This might turn out differently. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is a triumph of animated filmmaking that continues to redefine the superhero genre. With its jaw-dropping animation, multiverse-expanding narrative, and heartfelt performances, it's an absolute delight from start to finish. Whether you're a die-hard Spider-Man fan or casual moviegoer, this film is an unmistakable experience that will leave you eagerly anticipating the next chapter in the Spider-Verse saga. Here are 10 interesting facts about Across the Spider-Verse. 1. The sequel has the largest crew of any animated movie ever, with around 1,000 people working on it. 2. It has 240 characters and takes place in 6 universes. 3. It features a runtime of 2 hours and 20 minutes, making it the longest animated film ever made. 4. Oscar Isaac voices Spider-Man 2099. 5. The Fellow is part 1 or 2. 6. Jessica Drew makes her on-screen debut as Spider-Woman. 7. This sequel utilized the most animators ever used in any single film. 8. Jason Schwartzman voices the hapless villain, The Spot, until he turns into a multiversal threat. Now let's go over the origins of Spider-Man. In 1962, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby arrived high after creating now iconic titles such as The Fantastic Four, The Incredible Hulk, and X-Men. After the success of these comics, Lee's boss, Martin Goodman, wanted Lee and Kirby to come with another unique superhero. Lee knew that Goodman wanted more, but he was stuck. In an interview given before his death, Lee remembered that he couldn't think of any superpowers. Luckily, Lee was about to hit a stroke of genius when he saw a fly crawling on a wall, and I said, "Boy, it would be great if I could get a superhero who could stick on walls like an insect." After taking inspiration from this fly, the next thing Lee needed was a name. He brainstormed names like Insect Man, Fly Man, Stick to the Wall Man, Mosquito Man, but none of them fit what Lee was looking for. After Lee came up with this character, Steve Ditko designed Spider-Man's costume, which gave the new superhero personality. According to Lee, Steve was just perfect for it. He got that feeling for the average guy who turned into a hero and still has problems. However, the publisher at the time halted the idea of Spider-Man and didn't want anything to do with it. Lee remembers that Martin Goodman told him, "This is the worst idea I ever heard," he said. "First of all, you can't call a hero Spider-Man. People hate spiders. Next, you can't make him a teenager. Teenagers can't only be sidekicks and say what you want him to have problems. Stan, he's a superhero. Superheroes don't have problems." Instead of listening to Goodman, Lee and Ditko got to sneak Spider-Man onto the cover of the 15th and final issue of the series called Amazing Fantasy. This series was saying that all readers and was doomed for cancellation anyway, so Lee figured he had nothing to lose by including Spider-Man in this issue. Lee later explained his reasoning, stating, "You were set to do one last thing, and nobody came with you put inside a box that was about to be killed. Again, it was just to get it out of my system." Months after the release of Spider-Man, Martin Goodman reviewed his sales figure only realized that Marvel had a new bestseller. Fans wrote it wanting more Spider-Man stories and wondering when the next issue would be released. Martin Goodman got his new superheroes and Stan Lee got to choose his Spider-Man. In March 1963, the Amazing Spider-Man series was released. This title would eventually become Marvel's top-selling comic book series. According to the numbers, the 9-film Spider-Man franchise, including the 3 MCU films, has spun up over 3.2 billion domestically and 8 billion worldwide, making it the 4th biggest film franchise of all time behind only the entire 38 film MCU, Star Wars, and Harry Potter. This is Ruben Comics Podcast. Thank you for listening. Next episode will be announced in a few weeks. Signing off. Ruben.